Well, today we continue our commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. Today we have the Lord's teaching on how we deal with enemies, how we deal with those who persecute us. And the Lord says to His followers that they might have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, I of course being Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, gives us a new commandment, a new standard by which we live our lives. And that is to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Notice he says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor. That is found in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, where God commands us to love our neighbor. Sometimes, though, the scribes and Pharisees interpreted that only to mean your fellow members of the Jewish faith, those of the same nationality. And so they felt it was okay to love their fellow members of their religion, but they could hate the Samaritans, for example, or they could hate the Gentiles, or hate the Romans, or hate the Greeks. That was the mentality. The Lord answered that when He gave us the parable of the Good Samaritan, when He says, who is your neighbor? And Jesus says, it's everyone. Not only your people of the same religion and ethnicity, but even the Samaritans who were hated by many of the Jews. So Jesus says to love your neighbor. Then He says, you've heard it said to hate your enemy. Well, nowhere in the Old Testament does it ever say that, but many of the rabbis and the scholars and the Pharisees took some passages in the Old Testament about how God dealt with His enemies, and they would twist things, and they would preach, oh yeah, it's okay, love your neighbor and you're allowed to hate your enemies. Jesus says, no, that's not the true teaching of God. Jesus says, don't hate them. He says, love your enemies. Now, of course, there's four different words at least in Greek for love. You have philios, a brotherly love, eros, romantic love, storge, which is like patriotism, love for country. The Lord doesn't use those. He uses agape. Agape love is a sacrificial, self-giving love, which is an act of the will. It's a decision. Notice the Lord does not use words of, He doesn't say you have to like your enemies. God cannot command us to have a feeling or emotions, but He can command us to make a decision, to make an act of the will. So He uses the word agape, which is an act of the will, a decision to love your enemies. What does love mean? It means desiring the highest and best good for the other person. What is the highest and best good for our enemies? That they be converted, that they get to heaven ultimately. We don't want anyone to go to hell. We pray that they will be converted and they will get God's grace and respond to God's grace so that they can one day be with God forever in heaven. That's what it means to love our enemies. Again, we don't have to like them. We don't have to have nice feelings towards them. But we do have to pray for their conversion, pray that they will receive God's grace, and ultimately one day get to heaven with God's grace. And He even says, pray for those who persecute you, to pray for those. We have people that persecute Christians in parts of the world today. We have people that persecute the church throughout the world. Jesus says to pray for them. The Lord gave us the example as He was dying on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus prayed for His enemies. Saint Stephen, as he was being stoned, prayed, said, Father, do not hold this sin against them. So Saint Stephen prayed for his enemies. Saint Maximilian Kolbe led to the gas chamber at Auschwitz, prayed for his enemies. Many of them were converted. St. Maria Goretti prayed for the young man who stabbed her 18 times. She prayed for his conversion, and ultimately he was converted, became a very saintly man later in his life because of the prayers of Maria Goretti. So we see from Jesus and the lives of the saints, of those who truly loved their enemies, prayed for their conversion, and prayed for those who persecuted them. And Jesus says, if you do this, you will truly be a child of the Heavenly Father. Because notice, the Heavenly Father has this total sacrificial love for each one of us, so much so that He sent His only Son to die for us. Jesus says He makes the sun rise on the good and the evil. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so He's saying to us that we're called to love not just our neighbor, we're called to love everyone and to pray even for those who persecute us. And He says, if you only love those who love you, there's no merit in that. There's no reward in that. He says, even tax collectors do that. And of course, tax collectors were the most despised of anyone in their own faith because they were cooperating with the Romans, collecting taxes from their fellow Jews, usually collecting much more than they were supposed to. And they were considered traitors to their faith, to their country. And so they were hated. And Jesus says, even tax collectors can be nice to fellow tax collectors. That's something natural. But He says, I want you to be supernatural. He says, don't just salute your brethren. Even Gentiles, pagans, will say hello to one another. He says, no. He says, to truly be a Christian, to truly be a follower of Christ, He says, we're called not just to be natural, but to be supernatural. To love those who don't love us, to pray for those who persecute us, and to be kind and generous to even those who persecute us. And then Jesus concludes by summing it up by saying, therefore, you must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. The word in Greek is telios. T-E-L-I-O-S. To be perfect. Obviously, it means to be holy. It means, another translation is to be fully mature spiritually, to be fully developed, to become mature in our faith, to become holy, Jesus says, as the Heavenly Father is holy. So that, of course, is the purpose of life, is to become holy. And we do this by loving God and loving others.